Roll the intro.
He turned on.
Hey everybody, how you doing? I'm HexDSL, and I am mighty happy to see you all today because we've got things to talk about, and I'm going to be messing my ears the whole time for reasons which will come clear soon. Hey, how you doing, Wing? Wing's here. Hi, Wing.
I am. Imagine that.
Yeah, Wing. Imagine Wing. I've got new earphones, Wing. I've got third gen. I'm talking about it is because they're in my ears, you see. So
and they're very obvious.
I'm wearing them. You know when you get new earbuds and you have to acclimatize them for a few days. Weirdly,
I refuse to wear earbuds because they're just annoying.
The weird thing about them is the one on the left feels really firm. The one on the right feels like it's constantly falling out. It's not because I can shake my head and do this and it's fine. But I do feel like I just feel like it's not in as secure as it could be. So I'm trying to wear them to get acclimatized to them before I go out to the big wide world. I do worry maybe I've just got greasy ears or something is one of the concerns I've got right now. But either way, they sound good is the main thing. They sound all right.
Greasy ears.
Oh, I haven't got my little platform to stop my mic being echoey. Hold on, I've got my little mic platform.
Doesn't sound too bad.
No, but it sounds slightly better when I put it on the little mic platform. Not that I really care, but I think it sounds slightly better on the mic platform. Hello, everyone. I'm HexDSL. This is my mic platform.
Ooh, that sounds different.
It sounds better, right? Hello.
I don't know. Sounds different.
This is with the mic platform. This is without the mic platform. Without the mic platform.
Without it.
Really? You think so?
It sounds a bit like echoey with the platform.
Echoey with the... I mean, from my point of view, it's less work to do that, so I'll just get rid of it. That's fine. Get rid of it. It's
a magic. It's like a bit of reverb or something on it.
That's okay. I mean, it's a big rubber platform. There's no... It should do the opposite of that, so yeah. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to Trendy Talk. For those of you who it's your first show, and every show is someone's first show, this isn't a real podcast. It's just Wing and I hanging out and talking about stuff we thought was interesting on the internet this week and a little bit of what we'd be doing.
Yeah. You know it's not a real podcast because it's not in the podcast section of Hex's YouTube channel because that's magic.
Yeah, I don't understand how it works. Like, I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do to make things
I don't know.
I even tagged it as podcast last time.
I mean... Yeah. I don't know. It's weird because it has automatically stuck one of the really, really old ones in there.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand what that's about.
Stop digging in your ears.
I'm just kidding. Like, this one, like, just slides out, right? And it doesn't make any sense to me. So all I can think of is I've got, like, a greasy ear. It's, like, the only thing. Because the other one just stays in. Who knows?
Okay, so...
Just expect me to be messing with this. I don't know.
Aside, how do they sound?
They sound excellent, which is one of the reasons I'm attached to them, because they sound excellent. And they've got spatial audio, so they make music sound like it's coming from all around me rather than in my ears, which I really like. But yeah, they've got little buttons on the stalks where they're like, they're little tiny haptic sensors that vibrate. And you go click and it loads my music, and that's cool. But yeah. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Shall we say why you have new earphones?
I mean, is it a secret?
I don't know. It's because terrible batteries.
Yeah, I had second generation earbuds, and the battery life on them was going downhill, but only on one earbud. Like, the other one was still going downhill, but not as fast. And when you've got the one earbud running out of battery before the other one, I've read that the third generation are better. If they're not better, I won't be buying these again. We'll wait and see what happens. Because usually I wear these things. They're great.
Did you buy them, or did you just get them because of Apple Care or something?
No, I bought them. But I didn't.
Are dying earbuds not covered by Apple Care?
Well, I didn't pay for Apple Care on the last earbuds because I was like, "Why do you show earbuds?" But these ones, I paid for them the moment they arrived. I paid for the Apple Care, so if I had the same problem again, I'd be like, "Fix it."
And by fix it, I mean just give me some new ones.
I literally do that with earbuds. They're just like, "There you go, go away." So yeah, the one thing I didn't have insured is the one thing that went weird. But yeah, well. But yeah, they're all right. The new ones sound lovely, honestly. They're just not as comfortable as the old ones, but they're better in every other way. And I think it just might be, you know, you really just have to get accustomed to new things you put in them, right? They kind of have to get accustomed to them. So we'll wait until it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never got on with your phones. I used them on the odd time I entered the world, but you know.
I use them because they're this big. That's my use case. That's the reason I use them. And Apple ones, they don't go in your ear canal. They just hook into your ear and stay there, and that means they don't give you fatigue in the same way that other ones do. Oh, I'm just loading my music here.
All earbuds look fucking stupid, though. Even Apple.
I mean, I wish they
design ones that don't look stupid.
I mean, they're very unobtrusive, right?
Don't know. They're just odd having.
They're like
big, long white stick coming out of your ear. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've always got on with them, but yeah, I feel like I'm constantly adjusting these ones, but I think it might be entirely imaginary, the problem. So who knows? We'll wait and see what happens. I wore them all night yesterday, so that was fine. And I've worn them a lot today, so we'll wait and see what happens. But yeah. Anyway, that was the story of the earbuds, so we've got that out of the way. So Wing, what should we start with? We've got a topic.
That
everything.
Is a question, isn't it?
Anybody that is watching that's interested in our topic list, you can go to trendy.hxdsl.com/tt/current-show. And that's the current one, is that right? Yeah, there you go, that one. It's not technically listed, but it'll be listed the moment the show's over. We kind of have the open garage door approach to podcasting.
Reason I unlist the pages so it doesn't show up on RSS feeds before all the stuff is there.
Because I haven't
added the audio file and stuff yet.
I think someone should start a podcast called Trendier Talk, and they just use our topic list before us.
Huh?
That'd be fun.
Normally the current show isn't public until we're actually streaming. So. Mm. Well, I mean, not as it's not unlisted until we're streaming. Prior to this, it's just not available at all.
I don't understand how it works. Wing does all the magic. I just let it go. I'm just here for the podcast glory. yeah. So what's our first topic, Wing? What are we going to jump into first?
Well, would you? I mean, considering you're the only one who's watched something, would you like to have your thoughts on the Mean Girls musical?
Yeah, I watched the Mean Girls musical. Now, I'm, for those of you that don't know, I mean, I'm a massive fan of Mean Girls. I think Mean Girls and Casablanca are the two greatest films ever made for different reasons. I'm not an idiot. But I do think they're both amazing films.
Two films we've watched last show. Me for the first time both, and it was very good.
Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. I love Mean Girls. So when Mean Girls 2024 came out, I ignored it because I assumed it'd be bad. But then I found out it was based on the musical, and that made me go, ooh. So then I was more interested. So I actually watched it now. And, yeah, it's fine. I mean, sadly, that's all I can say. It's fine. The woman playing Regina George, who is Renee Rapp, was superb. She played Regina George in the stage play. I'm burping a lot. I'm just mainlining some coke. Pepsi, not cocaine, to be clear. But yeah, she played Regina George on the stage for nearly a decade, I think, or somewhat close to that. So it's no surprise that she's very, very good. But overall, they've kept it to a reasonable runtime. But they've sacrificed a lot of, because Mean Girls is very dialogue driven, right? They've sacrificed a lot of that character building dialogue in favour of songs. But they've changed the songs from the theatre version to the no longer Broadway style exposition songs. So what you've got is a film that's very thin on plot, that has random songs in, and they've taken out enough plot points that it's only barely Mean Girls. I enjoyed it in the sense that I wasn't angry by it. We're not talking foundation levels of nonsense. I'd watch it again. But overall, it lacks all the things that make Mean Girls a masterpiece, in my opinion. So it's just fine.
So they use different songs than the Broadway?
Yeah. Some of the songs are the same, but they mostly altered them to make them shorter songs. and they've dropped a lot of songs. It's got like half as many songs in it. Because I thought that was just going to go with the Broadway songs, and that would have been great because the Broadway songs are that Broadway style musical exposition in the form of a song. But they haven't. They've streamlined it and just made like 9 pop songs. It's fine.
Huh.
Yeah. As I said, didn't love it. I did feel like the person playing Janice was doing a bad impression of Barrett Wilbur Weed, who played Janice in the theatre, which was a bit bizarre. The person playing Caddy, her voice is less than impressive in my opinion. It's only Renaud Rapp that really shines in it, and I think she holds the whole film together. But yeah, but in the end of it, I was just sort of like, it's fine. I'd watch it again, but it's not hashtag not my Mean Girls, right? And also, they've made the girls less mean. Because like in the original Mean Girls, Regina George would have stabbed your puppy while kicking your nan to death. Like she was like a literal piece of shit, and that was kind of the point. And in this new one, it's just like they're grumpy girls, not mean. Like they're not mean girls, they're just a bit grumpy, a bit clicky. Like it lacks a lot of the spite the original had that gave it teeth. And there's a moment in the first Mean Girls, the original Mean Girls, I should say, where Caddy goes to the mall with Regina. Those of you that have seen it know what I mean. And there's this moment where Caddy realizes how dangerous Regina is. And there's this beautiful moment, like a wonderful bit of writing, where she basically has that oh shit moment where she's suddenly going, yeah, I'm literally in danger. Like there's that moment where she's like, yeah, my entire life would be ruined by this girl in a heartbeat. And they do it in the form of a song that happens sort of out of nowhere, like before she even knows anyone. And it's a bit jarring, and it just feels like it's lost all the gravitas it had in the original. And there's also the Meet the Plastics music song that's from the musical. You don't meet the Plastics, you meet one of them, and then the song's over. It's a bit disappointing generally. They've also tried to keep in all the well-known quotes, but they've also haven't given them the time they need to land. So you just have them rushing through the Mean Girls quote database or something, and it's just a bit flat overall. So yeah, if you like Mean Girls, you'll probably enjoy it. Had the original Mean Girls not existed, no one would have cared about this film. It's trading on.
I was going to ask, does it actually stand up if you haven't actually watched the original?
I mean, yeah, because it stands up. But in that sense that you wouldn't be, I doubt most people would be rewatching it. Like it's just a one-time bubblegummy musical. It's nothing that's going to change your life. It's not the amazing film that we hoped for. Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, that's my over-the-top Mean Girls ramble where I've taken a bubblegum movie for teenagers a little bit too seriously. But, you know, that's what we do here. But, yeah, if you haven't seen the original Mean Girls, it really is. Go in expecting a teenage movie and you'll end up with a masterpiece. It'll be pretty good.
Yep, no, it was great. Let's see. I got some new hard drives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yes, right. So the first one I actually had ordered...
This is the Crucial T500.
The Crucial, yes.
Right, I've got that.
I ordered for my main PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I had ordered this actually before the last show.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Which, you know, I wasn't expecting, which was what? It was just after Christmas. I had ordered it before Christmas. I was not expecting it to arrive very quickly. But, I mean, the website didn't say anything about stock issues. But yeah, it was like, what? I was waiting like 5 weeks for this. I got an email saying, yeah, the stock just isn't there on that. And then a week later, it came. So I was like, okay, that was weird, but whatever. Got it on a sale. It was like £80, something like that.
Okay.
Which I assume is why you had no stock. The reason I got this for my main PC is because games are fucking huge.
You want to have a Mac, you'd have that problem.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a big Nook, an Intel 11 Extreme thing. It's a big Nook with a graphics card.
Yeah, you can fit more hard drives than most full-size tower cases in your machine, right?
It can fit 4 NVMEs in them.
That's mad.
Yeah, which is a bit crazy. 3 of them in the actual Nook itself, the card on the inside, and then 1 on the bottom of the case, which... is technically a bit slower, but I couldn't be arsed popping open my Nook, so I just flipped the case upside down, dropped this in there.
It's yeah, this is one of those, like, it's a bit slower, but also I load most of my games off an SD card on a Steam Deck, so who gives a shit?
Yeah, I mean...
NVMe's are so fast already, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of, yep, I was like, if it's, you know, noticeably terribly slow, I will move it, but it's not, yeah. So it's fine. It actually, the bottom slot on this does actually have a little heatsink on the thing. So
on the cover?
On the cover, yeah. It had like a little thermal strip.
So did you buy the non-heatsink version on the website?
I bought the non-heatsink version, mostly because I wasn't sure if the heatsink version was going to fit, and it looks like a bit of a pain in the ass to take off.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was like, fuck it, I'll buy the non-heatsink version, and I never actually looked at the strip on the bottom, but and it already had a thermal thing on it, so meh. Because it's like £20 in the difference between the heatsink and the non-heatsink.
I mean, it's a big old chunk of metal, right? It's like superbly, it's got all like glue and rubber and stuff. Yeah, I get it.
I mean, it's definitely probably better than the thermal strip that I'm using, but
I mean, you're loading games off it. You're not doing science data. You'll be fine.
I know, and yeah. It's not like there's anything. There is literally nothing around there to generate heat.
So you've got a 500 gig inside your Nook, and now you've got
about a terabyte of this. So yes.
Okay, that's a respectable amount of storage, 1.5 terabyte. Okay.
I mean, you'd think, boy, install like 5 games and it's like, wow.
5, you say?
Yeah. Well, I moved over some that I had on it, and, well, now, actually, hold on, I'll tell you right now. Bitty. Oh. Yes, that is the right command. So now I have a lovely 334 gigs left on my main drive. And I have 327. I've used 543 on my NVMe, and that is as just games.
I've used six games. I've used 386 gigabyte on mine, but I also don't have any games. I'm not quite sure what's using all that.
Yeah, but it's something I was thinking about for ages. But then one day, When we was having a Baldur's Gate day, GFN was like, oh yeah, this is games unavailable. We're doing updates, which normally I wouldn't care about, but Baldur's Gate is a thing we do on a schedule once a week. So I was like, fuck it, I'll install Baldur's Gate, and it was 120 gigs. So I was like, right, time to buy that hard drive.
Sometimes when I look at games installing on my Steam Deck, I'm like, it might be time to shell out for a bigger card. But then, thankfully, everything I've needed has been really big, has been on GeForce now, so I've managed to dodge the bullet.
Oh, GeForce Now is great, and I still really like it, but I still need local for some things.
Yeah. Actually, you've got enough machine to run it as well, so it's not,
I do. So, tangent though, speaking of GeForce Now, when I was moving games over, I was like, fuck it, I'll install a couple more. I've been playing Just Cause 3 lately. I don't know why, I just had that itch for that game. And I loaded it up on my computer, and I've up until now I've been playing it on GeForce Now, and I was like, there's no save game here, because that game does take forever to load in GeForce Now. Like, fucking first like 4 minutes is spent just waiting for the fucking loading, which is partly due to Square Enix having it at a weird online connection to their servers that constantly go offline, but it for recording fucking random high scores on things, and it's like, well, whatever, stupid. And you know, that's unavoidable on the GFN one, whereas if you install it locally, you can just firewall off the game so it doesn't connect to the internet, which is a ridiculous solution, but whatever. Because they've no just options to just don't do that. But whatever. But I loaded it up, and it was like, yeah, there's no save here. I was like, that's what? Because one of the requirements for GFN is that you have Steam Cloud saves. However, yeah. I've looked into this, and there's a lot of people talking about this game in particular. It seems to be the only game on GFN that is somehow there that doesn't support cloud saves. So if you play this game on GFN, that's where your saves are locked, which doesn't make sense to me.
How long do they keep the save games?
I don't know.
Because that, yeah, that's kind of interesting. You know, I don't think I've played one of these games.
It's just because it doesn't really matter.
And you'll be back in the local save game, I assume.
I mean, you only have your local save game. But yeah, there's no way of getting it off GFN, so let's start again, which, it's fine. Just cause games are just kind of, you're mostly doing the same thing again and again. They're just grindy nonsense, but on a gigantic, beautiful map.
I do like to grind.
Yep. They're a game that you play for a bit and then go, I'm done now. You know? And then probably come back to it because it's just beautiful. But, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Main chat says that it's the problem with modern games is the companies don't care about asset compression. I mean, it is rubbish, but, I mean, they would tell you the reason they don't compress assets is because there's an unpacking time, which causes worse performance, which I've never been that convinced about, but they do seem to think so. Obviously, if you compress it, you're uncompressing.
I mean, to be fair to Baldur's Gate, it's fucking huge. Like,
yeah, there's a lot
Baldur's Gate is massive. Like, we are now 20 something hours into it, and we haven't even finished part one. So, and it's the maps are insane. They're huge. There's so much going on in it. It's like it's the game where I'll go, yeah, they probably are actually using all the space as efficiently as they can. Because it's just, it's huge.
May also says people wouldn't need to buy new graphics cards if they focus on optimization. True, but I technically don't have a graphics card. So,
I mean, there is a whole conversation to be had about developers not even in games specifically. Like, what was that article from a while back where someone had said, like, you know, we've got better and better computers, but they still kind of feel the same.
They even out because things get worse. Also, your other hard drive is a 12 terabyte Seagate Iron Wolf.
It is not a 12 terabyte Seagate Iron Wolf. It's an 8 terabyte.
That's less impressive. It's less impressive. How much does an 8 terabyte Seagate Thingy Wolf cost you?
Don't know. Forgot. I also got that on sale. Just by sheer coincidence. This was for my server. I don't know, it was like 170-180 quid. So I've been using when I first set up my server, and mostly for Jellyfin, I needed I couldn't afford a hard drive at the time, so I just went, I'll just use cloud storage, and I just got a Hetzner storage box, and that's where all my shit's been, and that's perfectly fine, to be honest.
I've just had an epiphany. Seagate, that's supposed to be a wolf head, isn't it, their logo?
Yes.
I thought it was a mountain. I thought it was a mountain. Forever. I've never looked at it long enough before. I just thought it was like a mountain with a little stream or something.
It's called Iron Wolf.
Yeah, no, I realise that now. Yeah. But I still say it looks like a mountain.
I can totally see the mountain if you remove the snout.
Well, the snout I thought was like ice coming, like snow coming down the mountain. I thought it was like the snow side of it or the sunshine or something. And I thought the little bit at the bottom was like a little stream.
That also makes sense. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Sorry.
I mean, that's just minimalism, isn't it?
I do like minimalism, I guess. But yeah, I can now see it totally looks like a wolf. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
The Hetzner worked fine when it was mostly just me using it. I think I think I've found that Headsters seems to be weirdly capped at like a 12.5 meg down, which is perfectly fine. You could stream 1080 video fine off it.
Yeah.
But now that more people in my house have been using it, it's noticeably not as
not as quick.
Not smooth, yeah. Which, that's not on Hetzner, I don't think, because I've tried this out on other cloud shit, like OneDrive and Dropbox, and they're all really fucking slow. So, eh.
Yeah.
Whatever. But it was always supposed to be a temporary thing. I still have it as a backup anyway, so, you know. Using it live was supposed to be temporary. I am still using it as a backup anyway. But due to that slow speed, when I did get this, it took me, I think, 36 hours to download my entire...
That's a lot of Linux ISOs you've got backed up on Hetzner.
Yes, it is. As some of it was Big Book, wasn't it? But yeah. So
you know, I've never seen a Big Book Bunny.
I've watched the start of it.
Is it only not 5 minutes long?
Because I keep forgetting. Yep. Yeah. I keep downloading it because I keep forgetting what it is. I got the Iron Wolf because I don't know. This is a NAS style drive. I mean, it's going to be actively used a lot, so whatever. I mean, a regular one probably would have done, but I mean, why not? And to attach this to my server, I've got
a 3.5-inch USB 3 SATA SSD thingy to adapter. Yeah. The StarTech thing. Yeah.
The StarTech thing. I think this was, what, like £50 or something? I did not buy it direct from them. Seems to be more expensive from them than anywhere else. So, which is odd, but okay. It's a drive enclosure. There's not much to say about it.
Yeah.
It's the casing's like a metal, so that's just kind of...
I mean, that works the heatsink, right?
Yeah, I mean, that just seems
not
to be...
Not a mechanical heatsink. Drive playing Big Butt, but he's going to get that hot, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's got a little stand thing that I stuck it on too, because it takes up less space vertically. The little on-off switch is a bit cheapy, but I mean...
I wouldn't turn that off. Yeah, that seems like... No, let's just cut the power to this drive.
It's one of the reasons I kind of leaned into getting an NAS drive. Was like, they're designed not to be turned off, ever. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'll just grab one of those, stick it on this. It's routinely backed up with the rest of my shit to Borg, from with Borg to the Hetzner. It doesn't bother me. So, yeah. And now... So I've got all my media stuff on there. It will be used for other stuff. I'm going to move... My server also runs Sync thing for backing up my parents' phones. I'm going to put those onto that drive directly instead of running it off the fucking NVMe on the server, which is probably terrible for it. But,
Yeah, this company look awful. I mean, it's hard to go wrong, right? I've got a 2.5-inch enclosure for an SSD, and I've literally got super glued to the underside of my desk. I just glue and it just went smack, and I just plugged it in, and it's just there.
StarTech look awful.
Yeah, it's just the hardware. Like their logo looks like from 1901.
I mean, they've been around forever.
So is their logo, the looks of it.
Probably. I mean... They do have a lot of random shit, but it's actually something I've heard of, so true, you know, that's why I went with one of those.
Yeah.
Did you search for a fucking...
I've just realised, sorry, I've got my dark mode turned on by default, and I've just realised that was what making the website look fucking horrendous. It looks slightly less horrendous if I turn off my dark mode.
Oh, you custom CSS. I was going to say, I didn't think it had a dark mode.
No, I have a dark mode plugin that just makes everything dark because I don't want to be fucking blinded by everything.
I mean, I feel similarly, but also when I tried out those before, they tended to fuck up websites too much for me. So
I mean, they do, but I've got a key combo to turn it off, so it's not, you know, fine.
They're good. Called StarTech. They have to be bright. Well, yeah, that's kind of it. It's a hard drive. There's not much to say about it. Yeah. But it is noticeably quicker than streaming from Hetzner now. So that's good.
That's good.
That is good. That's so good.
That's good. Can I talk about Gunfield?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so Gunfield. I can't remember if I talked about it last week, right? But Gunfield is a £2.49 shmup with a Vampire Survival's feel to it, because you've got very limited amount of health, very clear upgrade path for your weapons. It's very, very good. It's very good. I've played like 15 hours of it now, and it's like it's in early access. I finished it with two characters. Is very good. Can't recommend enough, and it's £2.49. You should invest in it, and you should not just play one run and go, that was fun. You should stick at it, because there's some nuance in there that I didn't quite notice at first, and there's some lovely pixel art. Everyone should play Gunfield. There you go. So that was my little Gunfield.
It doesn't have a lot of doesn't seem to have a lot of reviews. I'm not sure how popular it is, but it did look fun.
It is. I'm kind of done with it now, though, so I'm leaving it installed and waiting for the next patch before I play anything. But yeah, I really do need to finish. I just can't.
When Hex started playing this, for some reason, he was under the impression it was released like fucking years ago.
I was.
It was only released in November.
Well, I just bought... I think I was checking out with some other games on Steam, and it was like, do you want this? And I was like, go on then. I didn't really give it much thought, and it was 99p, so I think I just assumed it was abandoned or something. I just assumed it was just like just an old game. But yeah, that's really good. You should, if anyone's not, you know, not already looked at it, you should, it's definitely worth a look. And it's so cheap. It's cute. It's good. Good. Yeah. And I played it in controller. It's got slightly more floaty controls than keyboard and mouse, where it follows the mouse movement, which is not bad. But I did prefer a controller, and I had a good time. And yeah, the weapons are very diverse, and you have a limited number of them, as well as a limited number of general power-ups. And each pilot has got a different ship, and each ship has got its own perks, like 10% extra experience, 10% faster, 10% faster firing rate. They all have like this one 10% perk, which changes the game early on enough that by the time you get to the end, it's really sort of set you up to fail or succeed. So, yeah, good. Highly recommend. Yeah, use drones. It's amazing. Anyway, there you go. Gunfield, £2.49.
Nice.
So there you go. And you've been playing the final some more, right?
Yeah. So me and friend of the show, Hangman, have been playing the finals the last about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So Well, you also tried it once, and
I once wanted context. I didn't immediately bounce. I played two whole games of that, man. That was a lot.
Yes, you did.
That was a lot for me. It was a lot.
You tried so hard.
I'm just happy playing shmups, and I don't really like playing a game where I'm required to pay attention, because like one of the reasons I've been more into single player stuff at the minute is because I can just pause it and go and look at cats for a bit, or like just like play my Mew for a bit. I don't want anything where I have to pay attention, and I certainly don't want anything where I feel like I'm being letting other people down by not paying attention, because like I don't want to play that. It's too much of a commitment for me.
That's okay. This is from... I think Eggman said it was from a lot of people that used to work on Battlefield.
Yeah, it's the old DICE team, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's got a lot of environmental destruction and stuff like that, but it is also quite different from Battlefield, but it's got, vague similarities. Not something... I would have actually, if Hangman didn't want to play this, I probably wouldn't have tried it on my own.
Yeah, but you've really been enjoying it, right?
Been enjoying it. It's definitely got its problems. It's free game, so yeah. But it does a lot of microtransaction-y stuff. But I do find it quite funny how, we played it like. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks of playing this, and we've seen maybe 4 people who seem to have bought something.
What is this?
Which I think is interesting. Nobody seems to actually be participating in the microtransaction-y stuff, which is probably not good for them, but it's also kind of funny.
Why have loads of people on the Steam comments use some weird ASCII art that doesn't line up?
It lines up for me.
What does it say?
Region locked China. I'm not going to comment on that. I don't know what that's about.
It appears to be for me.
I guess Mac doesn't like ASCII art. I haven't actually described the game. It's kind of, I mean, it's a team shooter. There's four teams of three, and there's two game modes. One is where you have to grab open vaults, take the safe or whatever to a deposit point, and then you guard it while it's depositing, which is just strange. And also the most boring of the two modes. So you just wait
of the
around.
Two games I played, I can confirm, very boring.
Yeah, that one. The other one has like mini vaults around the map where you can do that, and also when you kill people, you get money, and it's just whoever hits 40 grand or, whoever hits 40 grand first, that's it. So you get money, you have to deposit from either opening the little vaults or killing people, and you have to deposit it in the box, the deposit boxes that are constantly moving around the map. And, so, what else? Yeah, so there's like three classes. You got light, medium, heavy. Medium seems to have mostly support shit. Hangman plays heavy, and I play light for the, basically. Hangman tried medium at the start, but he seems to have moved up, just stuck with the heavy. I like the light one because it's fast and has a grappling hook. And Hangman plays the heavy one because he can run through walls.
I mean, that'll do
but,
it.
There's a decent amount of variation. There's most of this, like, outside of the microtransaction-y stuff, all the actual weapons and stuff are just you just unlock those in-game. You just play a bit, you get the monies, and you just buy the weapons. It doesn't take that long. I think I have almost everything already.
Yeah,
The
little bit of Farmers I played, and to be fair, I didn't play loads of it. It just seemed like a pretty generic shooter to me. It didn't do a lot that felt particularly inspired to me. But that's not to mean it was bad. It just didn't do anything for me.
I do agree that it's nothing amazing.
Mm.
But it's also free, and it's just always do. Like,
so
what
to
know,
do?
If this was like 30 quid, I probably wouldn't buy it.
Reasonable.
But like,
as
something to play for a couple of weeks, it has a fun enough loop. I think we've definitely had fun with it. But like, I'm not sure how much staying power it has. Especially since they seem to allegedly have a cheating problem now, which is a bit weird for big game, but whatever. Also, I will say, one thing I really fucking hate is one of their big fucking things they want to make a big deal about is they've got commentators going fucking constantly, and I turned them off very quickly. They're really fucking annoying that they're supposed to like point out, fucking things spawning on the map or people who has lots of money and provide general like gaming style commentary. They're very annoying, and also it really doesn't help that they're AI generated voices, so there's just
AI generated voices are never bad. I can't see a problem.
I mean, as you know, they don't sound like Microsoft Sam, but they do sound off. But
Microsoft
Sam
did nothing wrong. You leave them alone. Microsoft Sam was fine.
Also, just fucking AI.
Fuck AI.
So, yeah.
But that's not as bad as Ubisoft, who think you don't need to own games, right?
Yes. Ubisoft, man. Well, when was this? Last week?
16th of January.
Yeah. What is it now? 27th? 10 days ago. 11 days ago. I can count.
He did really well.
Thank you. So he said some bollocks, and people was annoyed at Ubisoft.
I mean, this is a long article. The point is not to force users to go down the route, or another explains. Offer purchase, we offer subscription. And that's the gamer's preference. It's important here we're seeing some people buy and choose and subscribe. That's not that dumb, is it?
I mean, you know, when a big company says, we're just giving you a choice, it's really going, yeah, but choose this one so we can immediately close the other one. The comparison to CDs and DVDs was really fucking weird. I thought.
The one thing we saw is that gamers are used to it a little bit like DVD, having and owning their games. That's a customer shift needs to happen. Okay, so they're saying like games should be like Netflix, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is just overall stupidity. Like, especially the CD one. Like, I think we only said last week, you could buy MP3s DRM-free.
Yeah, we did that last week.
And
I don't know how I feel about this, because games are getting more and more expensive, and the reality is, you're going to play a game, and then you're going to uninstall it and move along, right? So, like, if you're paying a subscription, like, if you play a game while you subscribe to a service, then stop subscribing. If you really like the game, you might go and rebuy it, but ultimately your life's not that much worse. I've never been that convinced that this matters. I do think it's the end, like it's the beginning of the AAA game crash, though, if they're feeling like this, and that's long overdue.
I mean, I don't think that kind of, like, that doesn't matter. The point is, I think the main point is, if I spend money on a thing that says buy here, I should be allowed to keep that fucking thing. This is just the DRM problem with movies again.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Also, this is like the most assholish way he could have possibly said this.
Yeah.
So he's just a fucking dickhead. Like,
and,
you know,
and don't forget, if purchasing doesn't mean ownership, piracy does not mean theft.
But yeah, basically, this is just them being dickheads. What are you sipping, Hex? Seems mysterious.
I did show the camera and there was no answer. It's just Pepsi Max. I'm sipping Pepsi Max.
I just noticed the comment. So
I did show the camera already.
Wasn't paying attention to your beautiful face.
I sneezed.
Oh no.
It's been coming for ages. I don't know what this is. Right, so another one from Gaming on Linux today is Valve seeing an increase in bug reports due to Steam stuff.
So, if you try and install Steam on Ubuntu, it'll install the snap version?
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Which seems to have many a problem that Valve are getting sick of listening to, so they said stop using that.
I mean, Valve don't officially support that snap, right?
They do not, so... Yeah. It's weird, though, right? Because they've told people to use the deb version. No. They have also said, if you don't want the deb, please consider the Flatpak version. Which is strange, because they don't actually package the Flatpak one themselves either.
They're not. I thought they did.
No. Oh. No, it's weird that. I have, like... You think they would have, but I don't think they do. Actually, going to FlatHub now, it says by Valve Corporation, so maybe they took it over? I know for a long time they didn't, but it doesn't have the verified symbol on it, so I don't know.
Yeah, snaps at this point failed, surely, right?
Ubuntu really, really wants them to work. Yeah. I mean... I've only ever tried one snap before, and I got annoyed immediately because it puts mount points everywhere.
Yeah, that is bizarre. You'll look at your hard drive, and you got like a drive for every snap you've installed, which can't be efficient. Like, it just can't be, right? Mounting everything like that. But yeah,
it's just annoying. But also, they're like. Yeah, they're just hard on snaps. That I think they've took so many steps towards it that they can't really go back now. So
I'm surprised Ubuntu's. I'm genuinely surprised Ubuntu's still a thing. Anyone who's down there, Debian is the correct operating system, guys. Debian is just the correct OS.
Never really understood it.
Yeah,
I never understood the use of Ubuntu. I mean, it was like one of the first ones I installed because that's what everyone told you to when you were first moved to Linux. This was like. What, 12 years ago now? But, like, you know, I didn't actually stay on it that long. But, like, yeah. It's still the default. I have a friend of mine who was messing with Linux. He's like, oh, I installed Ubuntu. I'm like, but why?
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's like, I mean, it, use what you want, but it's just one of those things that seems odd to me. Just using, using the original thing first.
I did have a YouTube commenter today tell me I should consider using Linux, which I thought was fun. Yeah.
You can install Linux on your Mac now.
I just like the fact that I haven't checked my channel and they think that I've never tried Linux, which is fun.
I mean, it seems to be a common thing with people commenting and not looking at your channel.
Not checking the channel first.
Usually the Linux ones who are very surprised that you're now on a Mac and have completely missed that you're on Windows for a year.
Yeah, but I didn't make loads of videos that year, so yeah, maybe.
That's because you weren't able to because you had an XPS.
Don't get me started on that. I'm only just calming down from that. Ars Technica says, in major gaffe, hack Microsoft test account was assigned admin privileges. Oh, dear.
Yeah, so this is actually a follow-on for something from last week where it was initially revealed to be a hack, but this is the How It Happened post, I think. So, yeah, the people who hacked them, I've noticed something in this post. You know when you have hacker groups and they have these names? These names seem to be actually what the companies are calling them. They're not a lot of, like, this says Microsoft tracks this group as Midnight Blizzard, but then they're also tracked under different names by other companies. I'm like, what?
Obviously.
Other names used to track this group include the Dukes, Cloak Dursa, and Dark Halo. I'm like,
why? Okay. Why is it set up in a way where any admin can look at any 365 account? That worries me. That feels like quite a problem.
Ah. Okay, so what happened here was they seem to have gotten access to the test account, and then from there gotten into the manager accounts. But the test account also had admin privileges anyway, but I'm not sure if that's... Yeah, so yeah, they've got access to multiple accounts via the test account with the admin privileges, but I believe there's a post in here. It's not this one, but yeah, there was one in the one from last week where it was pointed out that in order to get to those manager accounts, regardless of anything, a lot of them didn't seem to have 2FA turned on.
I don't know. Even my company makes every user have 2FA turned on. It's that simple. Yep. You have a choice.
This is very much a... Yeah. Like, I just assume everything you own has been, you know...
Do you have the same problem where you scroll down and Ars Technica is talking about Unsolved Mysteries of Quantum Leap with Donald P. Bellisario, and it's been there for about 3 years?
It's at the very bottom, yeah. It's weird.
Why is that there? Why isn't that not there?
I don't know.
I
can't even... Do you know what's funny? I can't even click on that. If I click on that, it doesn't do anything.
It does. Oh, I've got a YouTube video starting, which is awful.
Yeah, yeah, but if I click on the actual title, it doesn't go anywhere.
Is it not?
No, on the right. Yeah, no, that doesn't actually go... None of these go anywhere. All right, they're just like, you click on them and it changes the video. That's strange.
Yes,
I don't know what that's about.
Midnight Blizzard.
Maybe he gives them a lot of money.
Who knows?
Yeah, but that's just atrocious on Microsoft's behalf, really.
You think they'd know better, given that, you know, they're the ones that was pushing for passwordless Windows accounts. Glad I didn't opt for that.
Probably all want you to use those weird fucking passkeys now.
I mean, I don't mind a passkey, it's secure, but those passwordless accounts that Microsoft have are just, I don't even understand what they're talking about. They seem to have invented something and they just want me to use it. No, Microsoft. No. No.
No, I mean, that was them all coming together and inventing something.
Another Ars Technica post.
Oh, yes. This
Meta relates
these
to
two
Meta relents to EU, allowing unlinking of Facebook and Instagram accounts. Wow. That'll change everything.
Now you can have one without the other. Actually, something that's not on here, because there's a couple of EU laws that are coming into effect in March or another points in this year that have affected many of these companies. So the same has also, I don't have a link for this one here, but the same has also happened to Google, which I didn't even see anywhere because I just had my dad show me his phone one day and go, what the fuck's this? Like 2 days ago. I was like, yep, do you want to unlink all your Google services? I'm like,
no.
Jesus Christ.
No, that sounds like hassle.
Oh, if you are like me and you get these questions from your parents a lot, you just leave the fucking link. It's too much hassle. what are they doing? Nothing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. This header is massive as well.
I don't even know what would happen with Google if you go, yeah, I want to unlink my Drive and my Gmail and my YouTube.
It would spin you out to a separate Google account with only one service attached. Surely that's how they'd have to do it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like, your Gmail and your Gmail uses your Drive as storage, as far as I know, because there was one time my sister had a problem where she couldn't get emails. It was because her Google Drive was full and she couldn't get emails. So I was like, right. So I don't know what happens when you unlink those.
I assume every Gmail account comes with a few gig of free storage. So I assume that's what had happened, but who knows?
Yeah,
I'm not going to try anyway. It'd be dumb. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, this is the one Hex really wanted to talk about.
I want to talk about this because people are misunderstanding this in a way that I think is fabulous. Browsers like Chrome and Firefox can abandon WebKit in the EU with iOS 17.4. This is not good news. This is actually really bad news. And people look at it and are going, brilliant, we can have Firefox on iPhone. It's like, you can, but that's not what most people are going to do. What most people are going to do if they're given a pop-up like this is they're going to install Chrome or a Chromium-based browser on their iPhone, right? Which means that the WebKit market share is going to shrink, which means that the only hard holdout to Google is Apple, who are doing it through virtue of iOS users don't have a choice about what browser they use. So all these websites have kind of got to support WebKit, not just the Blink engine or whatever it's called, right? So if this happens, then that allows web designers to suddenly completely stop supporting non-Chromium based browsers. It's really bad news. It's really, really bad news because if Apple lose that install base with Safari, then Google have won and we've got excited about handing them the keys. And people are just seeing this as, yeah, Firefox on iPhone. No, that's literally not what's happening. Like, I get that you want Firefox on iPhone and I'm sympathetic to that, but we shouldn't, like, we've got to think this through. Most people are going to install Chrome on their iPhone, and this is the problem.
Okay. I think if people start installing Chrome, you're right, but I don't think they are, because everything Apple's been forced to do now, with the allowing browsers, with the opening up side loading, they've done everything in the most awkward way they could possibly have done it.
Oh yeah,
especially the side loading thing. I don't think it was ever the intention of that law to allow Apple to charge people to have their app outside the App Store. That's just fucking insane to me. But all their official announcements basically seem to be saying, don't side load. You can side load stuff, but you'll die. You can use a different browser, but you'll die.
And I've said this before, outside of the highly technical developers or nerds like us, right? People who buy Apple, one of the reasons they're willing to pay that premium is because they don't have to do anything. Apple take care of them. And they're not going to go off the beaten track, right? I'm a technical user and I probably won't ever install a third party app.
That's what I'm saying,
iPhone,
though. Like, how many Apple people are actually going to not use Safari?
Yeah. I like Safari. It's a really good browser.
I think some of them might try Chrome and then go, yeah, this is not in any way integrated like Safari is, and then just won't use it. With that being said, if Chrome does, if that does happen and Chrome is all we have, or WebKit, or whatever. Is it called WebKit or Blink now? I forget.
It's called Blink. WebKit's the one that iOS is based on.
Yeah, I've also seen people go, oh, but the servo engine that has a fucking... The servo engine was something I think Mozilla started that is now just spun off into something else, but it's like, it has nothing. Do you know how long it takes for these things? Like, it just got a back and forward button.
The reality is, though, building a web browser is as hard as building an operating system at this point. So you're not going to have many people in the game.
I think.
Yeah. And Apple have done the work with Safari, and it's a pretty good browser. And if you've bought an iPhone, if you've bought an Apple product, you kind of, it's on you, right?
Yeah, but like, if that ever became the case, I feel like Chrome is so big that they might just be forced to detach from Google.
Even if they detach from Google, I feel like we just
get another law where we just end up with a detachment from Google, and it's like some kind of fucking collaborative organization where all the big browser people have to agree on fucking standards and shit.
That's
what would happen
if the EU actually understood technology.
I mean, I feel like I have a lot of problems with them, but I feel like they get it more than, you know, America or the UK, who keep trying to ban encryption.
Oh yeah, there's. I don't. Yeah. So I mean, this move is not good. I think this move is bad.
Yeah.
I think it's potentially very bad.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the EU keeps trying to do things that should be good, but they're leaving the language far too vague, and the companies just keep being the most awkward possible to keep doing malicious compliance as hard as they can. It's like with the cookie thing, and then everyone just has to deal with fucking stupid banners everywhere. It's like,
and everybody installs a plugin to just make the banners fuck off.
Like, that's not what the solution should have been. Like, it's like, you've got the right idea, wrong solution, you know?
Absolutely.
And then that just made Google go down an even worse path, because they keep trying to do stuff that's far worse than cookies, which is how we ended up with them.
Fucking AMP.
We have the whole Manifest V3 thing coming up.
Yeah, and to be fair, one of your holdouts for that is Safari. Like, one of your holdouts Safari is Safari.
Safari also doing it, because I thought Firefox was the only one not implementing it.
No, Safari's not implementing it. Because Safari's WebKit-based, so Safari won't do it anyway. Safari's not doing it. I'd be very surprised. Because you've got to remember, Apple's not a marketing company. They choose the path of privacy, not because they care about privacy, but because they know it sells hardware. And like, they've got a privacy relay in macOS, so that like they can't get local information about you through ads and stuff. So they've already got things in place that would break Manifest 3, I think. So I think we'll be all right. But either way,
Do you think with all the AI nonsense, Apple Insider has thought about changing their logo?
I think they get a lot of traffic from people misunderstanding the AI logo, though, to be fair. Apple Insider is actually a really good website.
I've just clicked around on, I've just clicked back to the front page, and they have an article there from Spotify saying that Apple's EU App Store changes are extortion.
I said that yesterday. I think everyone who's read it's just gone, well, that's just a bit dodgy. Yeah. Apple Insider is a really good website if you're an Apple user. Obviously, not very much interest outside of it. But even like, there wasn't any Windows or Linux websites that was as competent as Apple Insider. They're like, the only thing I don't like is they seem to have one article a week where they're trying to make you spend money. But they don't seem to have any intrusive ads other than that one article a week. So good for them. Yeah, good job.
Like this big daily deals thing at the top where they say, just for 1,200 quid.
I mean, if you're suddenly in the market to buy an Apple, and then you see that ad, it probably will save you money, to be fair.
If I'm in the market to buy an Apple, I'll go down to the shop, into the fruit and veg aisle.
Yeah, you tried doing your email on it, though. Oh, you did a pie for that, I suppose. Right.
It's William Gallagher.
Well, I love William Gallagher. 58 keys.
Let's see.
What?
Do we have anything else in this? Oh,
no, no, we do. Do we have anything else?
We do. We do. Last week we was talking about comments and stuff. Hang on, let me fucking see where this comment was. I didn't put the. Someone messaged me after the show last time. I didn't include it. They DM'd it to me, so I don't know if they want their name around the place.
Okay, so read it to me. I'm listening.
Yes, I've been using NeoVim for quite some time, and hear how much configuration I have to have. You said you've only got 20 lines or so of your Vim. Can you share it with me? I'm like, yeah, and I did, and I sent it back to them. But like, it just got me thinking about. Well, I know we talked a bit about it before, but I'm just like, I don't. Yeah, people seem to go hard on configuring stuff and things, and it confuses the shit out of me. Like, I don't really heavily customize my Linux either. I mean, I know I use BSPWM, but I set it up once and I never touched it again.
I mean, I've customized my macOS experience quite a lot, so I'm probably guilty of that as well. But
I know, but I mean, especially around stuff like that. Like when I, like, this came up because we was talking about NeoVim and how I just use regular Vim. Like, when I went looking for something before, I can't remember. I stumbled into the NeoVim subreddit and I discovered that people make NeoVim, they call them NeoVim distros. It's like prepackaged NeoVim full of plugins and stuff. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I've seen Obsidian distros as well.
So that just seems to be a fucking thing. It's just weird to me. Like, I get configuring, right? You can configure to your liking, and I have a little bit, you know, obviously you do, but I don't, it's people seem to fall down this hole where they're just configuring and not using the fucking program.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. That's
and,
fair.
And when I was looking around the NeoVim thing, and you see people go, it's like the amount of issues that people have on, like, NeoVim trackers are caused by plugins that they don't even know they have. It's like, It's kind of like the Ubuntu thing. Just start at the beginning and tweak it to what you want it to be, and then just stop. Start at Debian, make it what you want, just forget about it. I'm sure Debian or Ubuntu probably has shit. You know, if you really want to, just you can just use them. But it's just, there's just some weird workflows people have. I mean, I'm never going to say any of them are wrong, but it just seems really strange to take someone else's workflow and start there.
Yeah, that's common in productivity space, I think, as well. I kind of get the mindset of it. I think a lot of people, they want to have the perfect configuration without realizing that everybody's perfect configuration is different.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like even if you're using them as a starting point, you're just going to end up changing so much that you might as well have started from scratch.
Yep, absolutely.
And then there's always going to be something left there that's causing you a problem that, you know, that you don't know what it is because you haven't started from the beginning.
Yep, no, totally agree with that. Have you made your Vim .config? Or whatever it's called, .vim config, .vimrc.
I did not. I did, it's public on, it's on my, if you git.fedder.onl.
I'm going to go there right now.
It's in the random folder because I don't have a pastebin, or I didn't at the time, and then I set one up and then I never fucking used it, but it's in there. Yeah, there's not much in there.
Git dot
hex. There you go.
I'm gonna do it myself. Did it.
Oh, so good. Yeah, it's just whatever, I guess. But it did make me think about toolings and stuff because I've just been looking around at stuff lately, and looking at anything tech related is really weird because you have these two very different groups arguing over very different things. Like there seems to be a lot of people someone will post, oh look, I found this cool new tool, and whatever it is, it'll be filled up immediately with a bunch of people going, can't use that. I do this for work. I can't go around changing work tools. Like, okay. Well,
why are you commenting then? Fuck off.
Why are you commenting? Or it's like, I don't have time for this. I just need shit to work. It's like, yeah. But then, you know, the hobby people are more... will mess, play around with tools more. But it's like... But then you see the two groups getting into weird arguments over tools that probably neither of them has even used. They've just read the description and start fighting over it. And it's like, that's so strange.
Yep.
It's so strange. And it's like, wow. Like, I see that a lot when I started using Fossil. I was just like, people be arguing over, oh, it doesn't do this. But it's like, it does. It either does it differently or you just haven't tried. It's just odd stuff that happens in tech circles, because I think there's a lot more variance in the user base than people think a lot of the time. But yeah,
that is a short film I see anyway. Anyway, unless we have anything else to do, we're at the end of Trendy Talk. Anything else? Any other business? I think any other business?
No, it's just mostly
a short one today. A short one.
Yeah, I think my main point was, play with tools and find what you like and configure it however you like. And it doesn't matter if it's popular or not, because as long as it works for you.
But in the end, if you do things differently, you'll get
pointless arguments.
Yeah. This is one from me, right? Whenever you're about to post something on the internet, I want you to stop and just think, does this need to exist? Does this comment I'm about to post need to exist? Does this article I'm about to write, does it, you know, is there a benefit to it? Stop blindly giving your opinion like you're a fucking fire hose. And also, if there's a comment section, don't read it.
I don't know. I mean, people can write what they want. But, like, you know, as long as they've actually given it a thought, if it's, you know, not off-the-fucking-cuff things. You could write off-the-cuff things, but wait and read it back to yourself later.
Like, most Reddit comments don't need to exist. Like, pretty much all of them don't need to exist.
I mean, that's because I'm pretty sure that whole system fell apart the second people started caring about having points for some reason. Because then they just... Basically, most Reddit threads just seem to be people posting the thing that they think will get them the most points, which is strange.
Look how smart I am. Look at me.
It's weird, right? Because whenever you introduce a system that you could would track people, like you would track activity or whatever, a point system of some description, be it fucking likes on a post or videos or whatever, it seems to be mostly likes, but you know, people just really want those points that don't do anything, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, no, neither do I. Yeah. Literal bafflement.
Like, have your discussion about tools or whatever it is, and yeah, it's fine. You say, I use this thing without, you know, attacking people for using the other thing. It's really weird, because you often come across stuff that's like comparing tools, but you know, well, obvious, oh, this other tool is terrible because of the, it's not how you should really go about writing those things, I don't think. I'm just fucking saying what's coming to my mind now, but yeah.
Right, that's it. I'm gonna cut you off. This has been Trendy Talk.
You're gonna cut me off?
Oh, I thought you thought of something else then. He was like, No,
I didn't.
You can get Trendy Talk again in 1 to 2 weeks, maybe, probably, because it's not a real podcast. But you should absolutely come and hang out on our Discord at discord.hexdsl.com. You should come hang out and say good morning with us, because we all say good morning every morning, except for Hangman's Joe, who says good morning just after the afternoon started quite a lot. So there you go. Also, on Wednesdays, we wear pink. Thank you, and goodbye, everybody.